The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in land of deep darkness, on them a light has shined. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Amen. May God add a blessing upon the reading and the hearing and the receiving of the words of Isaiah for us today. There's more words to come from Isaiah this afternoon. The very first word that will be sung in the performance of the Messiah is the word comfort. Comfort. Comfort ye my people, which is from chapter 40 of Isaiah. The words of Isaiah permeate Advent. They're all over the Messiah. We hear this every year. They talk of peace. They talk of when the lion will lay down with the lamb, like in our picture this morning. That's in chapter 11. They talk about where the rough places should be made plain, like in chapter 45 of Isaiah. In chapter 63, they talk about making all things new and about how there will be no weeping at all on God's holy mountain. People will be at peace working together because, as we heard today in chapter 2, the emphasis of this message that people would have beaten their swords down into plowshares. Swords, an instrument of war. Plowshares, an instrument denoting peace. People being fed. People helping one another. Working towards good. The words of Isaiah also point to a person. Someone named Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, from chapter 9. We'll hear this sung this afternoon, of course. The words of Isaiah went down generation through generation. It became a school of thought that comprised the book of Isaiah. People remembered these words until Jesus came into the world. They proclaimed hope to those lived in darkness. They looked forward to one that would lead them forward into light. When Jesus came into the world, how many heeded the call? How many joined the cause? How many took up the yoke with him and went out into the fields where the work was plenty? How many joined the cause of that street preacher who told such intriguing, challenging stories, who healed on the Sabbath, who disrupted the powers of religion and politics of his time? How many would follow the one who took up the yoke of this prophet, who echoed the words of Isaiah 61 in Luke chapter 4? Jesus' mission statement to bring good news to the poor, freedom to the captive, sight to the blind, and set the oppressed free. Jesus took up the mantle of the prophet Isaiah and said, "This is what I'm here to do, to go about making the world a place of peace," and calls us to do the same. How many paid attention to those words of his? In Isaiah chapter 43, Isaiah says, "Can you not hear? Do you not perceive what God is doing?" Do we perceive what God's doing today? Do we hear God's words today? These words that we hear from Isaiah, they apply as much today as they ever have. God wants to do something new, folks. Something grand, something amazing, something revolutionary. Are we paying attention? Are we too stuck in our ways? Last week we heard about ruins, the ruins of Jerusalem, what Babylon did to them. Are we focused too much on what has been plowed, what has been wrecked in our lives, what has been wrecked in the world? Are we too negative, in other words, to hear a voice of hope, a voice of peace? It's never over for God. It might have felt over for those people in Jerusalem, but God was just going to start something new. That's what Advent stands for, folks. Advent means beginning, means becoming. Do you know that it's the new year today? Happy New Year, folks. We talked about this in confirmation. The new year starts today for us here at the church, so Happy New Year. And I remarked about this in a newsletter article. I think it's cool that the last month of the year, of the calendar year for us in the secular world that we abide by, is actually the first month, season, of the new year for the church. We get to start early. We're encouraged to act as God acts, to look ahead a little bit, to plan ahead. Ironic, isn't it, that we have this bridge between the end and the beginning? Maybe think that in your heads this week. Maybe meditate on that. Instead of thinking like this is the 12th month of the year, think about it as it's the first. You can begin again now. Start now. You don't have to wait until January 1st when you're tired from all the holidays and everything that you did in December. Seize the moment now when there's some anticipation in the air, when there's things to look forward to and the lights are up and the decorations are in your house and you hear the music on the radio that gives us hopefully some joy. So where do we start building something new for the future? What would we do if we could start all over again? What would be the first thing? Well, what about the grandest of all visions? You know, if a genie came down and asked, what do we wish for? Many of us say, well, we reserve that third wish for peace on earth, right? Because we think that, well, it's beyond our own power to do, right? So it would take some sort of supernatural force, some sort of uber power. So we relegate it to the genie, but we should really relegate it to God, shouldn't we? God can make it happen. God can make peace on earth happen. It can be a thing. It can be real. Nations can get along with nations. In impossible places like the Middle East, will there ever be an answer? Two-state question, single-state question. How will those people ever be able to live so close together? We pray about it. We think about it. We do our best with it. But it takes someone powerful. Then we could have peace. Then we could have peace on earth. But we're going to sing about how peace can begin with us. In little ways, doing little things, in the way we interact with people, in the way we treat people, in the way we greet people. I learned this week that there was somebody who attends here, and they told me that they haven't felt comforted here. And it grieved me. It grieved me a lot to hear that, because I disagree. I think we are pretty open and warm with each other, and we support each other, and we pray for each other, and we're genuinely glad to see each other. But perhaps I'm just one person, and one person's opinion. Other people's opinions are valid as well. And if there's somebody that does not feel welcomed, even after being here years, who feels out of place, who feels like their concerns don't matter, then it's an issue. What if we became a place of peace within these walls? Whenever we gather, not just at 10 a.m. on Sundays, when we gather for meetings, when we gather to eat, when we gather to practice our music, that we practice radical hospitality. If we see somebody sitting alone, if we see somebody that looks down and dejected, if we know that we've seen somebody's name in the prayer chain, perhaps ask them, how are you doing? Just listen to them. Isaiah has great words for us. A visionary existence. Every year when I hear these words and we sing them in the Messiah, I think to myself, isn't now the most important time to hear these words? Seems as if every year comes around just at the right time, when there's turmoil going on and people are bickering and calling each other names and disagreeing. Has there ever been a greater time than the present, when the world needs a little comfort, when people need a little comfort? People, when they come here, are looking for some comfort. This is what we can offer. This is how peace can begin with us. Wouldn't it be nice if people streamed in to these doors like we heard in our scripture? People were streaming to God's mountain. People would be streaming here if they knew the kind of love and good news that they would hear. I always think that to myself. I think, why doesn't everyone want to come to church, right? Why doesn't everyone want to experience warmth and love? Well, each to his own, but I think we would do a lot better for ourselves if we became a place that is so different than what goes on outside that they would at least be intrigued and wonder, those people inside those church, what is it that they have such joy? Why do they come back? The sticking power with people coming and streaming into our doors is because of some connection that they have to somebody who sits in a pew. Maybe it could be you. You could have the greatest music, you could have the greatest speakers, the greatest preachers. But if we don't have the love, if we don't have words of comfort for people who are experiencing some kind of hurt, then, well, are we really a church? Wouldn't it be nice if this became a place where we can be comfortable, that's safe? Safe like a pet that's curled up next to you on the couch on a day like yesterday that was so cold. Is there ever not a time for these words of Advent and peace. May these words stand up in your hearts. May these words speak out of your hearts this week. May these words provide comfort out from you to somebody to bring peace. Peace. Peace be to you. Let us prepare ourselves for communion with God. As we prepare to give thanks at this table, let's take a moment of silence once again to calm our hearts. Let go of the things in our lives that we regret. And in this time of silence, let's ask God for the peace of forgiveness and the peace that forgiveness brings. Know this, already your world is just a little bit calmer and brighter, having offered your confession to God. Those bits of chaos that clouded your life, they're gone. The dark skies have given way to beams of light. They illumine your way forward, the way forward into God's future for you, forgiven and free. Let us say together, Amen. Amen.